Shabbat shalom.
This week's parsha is entitled Emor, which means speak. Our passage is Leviticus chapter 21, verse 1, through chapter 24, verse 23, chapter 24, verse 23, and covers further rules for priests on how they are to be holy ones, separated for God's purposes. Additional responsibilities come with leadership, so it is appropriate that the Levites would be held to a higher standard than others, and that the priests and the high priest would be held to a higher standard than everyone. Chapters 21 and 22 detail further instruction that Aaron and his sons, the priests of Israel, must follow in order to maintain holiness to the Lord. Priests were not allowed to touch a dead body, walk over the grave of a dead person, or even be in the same room with a dead person. They would only be allowed to minister to dead relatives, for example, their own mother or father. Regarding marriage, priests could not marry a divorced person or one who was a prostitute. For the high priest, the rules were even more strict. A high priest could not even approach his own parents in death so as not to defile himself. A high priest was not even allowed to show signs of grief, such as tearing of one's clothes, which was a sign of mourning. It is interesting that Caiaphas, the high priest who was trying Yeshua for blasphemy, sinned against this command as he tore his clothes in Matthew chapter 26, verse 65. The high priest could only marry a woman who was a virgin. I want to bypass chapter 23 for a moment and look at chapter 24. Not only were the priests who made these offerings supposed to keep themselves clean and without defect, but the offerings themselves were to be without defect. These verses echo the beginning of the book of Leviticus, where Adonai gives instructions regarding the types of animals to be used for sacrifices, as well as the different types of offerings to be made. From verse 17 in chapter 24, we can see that these animals must be males without defect and must be from the cattle, the sheep, or the goats. I think that from past chapters, you can see the buildup that is happening through these several chapters. Rules for the people to be pure and holy. Rules for the priests and the high priest regarding purity and holiness. And rules for animals that are to be offered without defect. All this sets us up for one of the most important chapters in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 23, where we have the holy convocations of the Lord. In this chapter, we have the command for Sabbath rest, as well as instructions concerning the seven major yearly holidays. Let's briefly look at the seven holidays. They start with Passover. Passover reminds us that God provided us with a physical redemption from Egypt by passing over the houses when he saw the blood of a spotless lamb applied to a door. Yeshua provided us with eternal spiritual redemption through his death on the cross when we apply his blood to the doorposts of our hearts and accept him as Savior. Next is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Biblically, leaven is a symbol for sin. Jewish people still spend weeks before Passover trying to clean out the leaven, the sin, out of their houses. Messiah Yeshua was sinless. On the night before he died, he took unleavened bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Only one who was sinless could be the ultimate sacrifice to be the final atonement for sin. 3 days after Passover is first fruits. In ancient Israel, this was the offering of the first and best of the barley harvest. The high priest waved the offering at the temple. If it was accepted, it was a sign that the initial crops that came would be accepted. 3 days after his death, Messiah Yeshua was raised from the dead as the first fruits of those who are asleep. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. 50 days after first fruits, we have the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. In ancient days, the high priest waved two loaves of wheat bread made with yeast at the temple. This was a wave offering that the next round of crops, the wheat, would be acceptable and abundant. In the same way, 50 days after first fruits, we have the giving of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Messiah was pure and holy and was accepted as the first fruits. We who come later have yeast, sin in our lives, but we trust in the sinless one who went ahead. Those are the first four of the seven holidays, and they were fulfilled during the time of Yeshua. The last three have yet to be fulfilled. In the seventh month of the Jewish calendar, around September, October, we have the last of the three holidays. Interesting that seven is the biblical number for completion. The first of the last three holidays is the Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23 specifically tells us to blow the trumpets, in which in ancient times were sounded during different times, such as when the king was coming or there was danger. The New Testament tells us that Messiah's return will be heralded with a great trumpet blast. The suffering servant will return as the conquering king. The second holiday in the seventh month is the Day of Atonement. In biblical times, this was the day of national repentance for all of Israel. This was the only day that the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies to offer atonement for Israel's sin. The prayer through that whole day was that Israel's atonement offerings would be accepted and that the nation would be forgiven. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 25, we read about a great judgment that takes place after the Messiah's return. Finally, the last of the fall holidays, the seventh holiday, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. In ancient times, this holiday was a reminder that life on this earth was temporary. And in order to follow the commands in Leviticus chapter 23, we built booths and lived in them for a week to recognize how temporary life on earth is. But there is something lasting and eternal. In John chapter 14, verse 2, the Messiah reminds us that he has gone ahead to make a place for us in his Father's house. There are eternal dwelling places for those who believe. Additionally, in ancient times, this holiday, the holiday of Sukkot, involved many prayers for rain, since it was necessary for rain to fall within 3 weeks after Sukkot to assure the future harvest. Just as the water drawing ceremony done for each of the days during Sukkot reminded the Jewish people of the need for rain, so too did Yeshua remind us many times that he is the true living water. From John chapter 7, verse 37, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And in John chapter 4, verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." I pray that those who have not yet found the living water, such as my brothers and sisters still following rabbinical Judaism, can find that these holidays, which are still celebrated every year by Jews around the world, contain the path and the truth towards the water that will forever take away thirst and provide eternal salvation.